God is so good. We love you. We thank God for you. We're glad you're here. We pray that today's whole meeting speak into your souls and give you life. And I pray that this word give you the kind of liberty and healing and strength and guidance that you need for life. And so we honor God and his word to you today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being the true teacher of the church. Without you, we are just mumbling and we are dull of hearing, but you open up our hearts and our spirits and our minds, and you shed light on secret things and deep things and true things. And we thank you for doing that today. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. I want to minister to you today and teach you some things about wisdom. Yeah. And I tell you why. God has been speaking to me and saying that I want to bring some things to the church prophetically, like this is a time, a season that you need to hear these things, in addition to the reality of the one new body of Christ, the one new man, and the realities of the one body that we're going to continue to flow in until that truth becomes so deep in us that we finally, let's say, get it and function more accurately, more purposefully. But right now, God wants to speak to us. He's kind of intervening in the life of the church, because right now the church is living in a glut of information that comes to us from the world and also from Christian sources, and there's a lot to process. Plus, you have lives that are demanding. It seems the longer I live, the more demanding life becomes. There are more things thrown at us, more decisions we have to make. And consequently, we need more wisdom. Without wisdom, we are in trouble. We are left to our own devices and oftentimes influenced wrongly by sources that are strong and demanding that we pay attention to them and even follow the directions that they are recommending. So what you need is to hear a clear word from God. You need to understand how wisdom comes to us and that wisdom can deliver us and bring life to us and protect us. I'd like to start this morning by reading something from Proverbs chapter 4. Just a few verses, 5 through 9. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Those are pretty powerful promises about wisdom. Have they actually played out in the history of God's people, is the question. Have those who have operated in wisdom actually found these things to be true? Have those who operated in wisdom been exalted, promoted? Has there been honor? Has there been an ornament of grace placed upon their heads? It's very interesting. So we're going to look at some of the reasons why we need wisdom, and where it comes from. There will be situations, first of all, in your lives that are very demanding, that go beyond the scope of where you are in life, what you have learned. And you need God's wisdom in those times. All of us are confronted with those situations. They never stop. In fact, they seem to enlarge. Wisdom. Here's the things again that we'll do. It will keep us, exalt or lift us up. It will promote us, set us up. And I have a couple of people we're going to look at from the Old Testament, Joseph and Daniel. Now, this is not about self-promotion, meaning the more wisdom I get, the better I will be among people. The idea of becoming glorified because of your own personal aggrandizement is wrong. There's a reason for wisdom that comes to us, which shows forth the glory of God. And you will see it demonstrated in the lives of both Joseph and in Daniel. So, and one of the greatest things that wisdom will do is it'll keep us, preserve us, and give us long life. There are two ways that you can get wisdom. One, of course, comes from experience. Studying the Word, being taught the Word, practicing the Word. And the other is just living life. I remember many years ago when I was in business, there was a very wise president of one of the companies I worked for. I think perhaps now as I look back on him, he was a Christian, although I didn't know it at the time. And he used to say to me, "Greg, one of the things you're going to find out about life is what you won't do again." He said, "That's wisdom." And that stuck with me. Isn't that true? We learn a lot about what we won't do again. And only the fool repeats his mistakes. That's why the study of history is so important. And so that thing stayed with me. I can't say that I've always been faithful to that. I've repeated some of my mistakes, like all of us. But overall, I've kept that in my heart and tried to adhere to it. The other source of wisdom comes from God. It's supernatural. Jesus himself in Luke 11 and verse 49 is referred to as the wisdom of God. He was the personification of wisdom. In him dwelt wisdom of God. He lived wisdom. He acted wisely in all of his ways. Are you not marveled by the things he did, the way he spoke, how he interacted with his enemies and with the lost? That the things that he did showed that he had a wisdom that came only from God. And the scriptures refer to Jesus as the wisdom of God. The other thing that we can understand from that today is that according to scriptures, Colossians 1 and verse 30 says that Jesus Christ is made unto us all wisdom, sanctification, redemption, righteousness. So he, by his own person who comes to indwell us, downloads into us his own characteristics of the quality of wisdom. And it depends upon our connection with him to experience that wisdom, how closely we pay attention to his voice, how we listen to him, how we appeal to him, and how he responds to us. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says this: "In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So there isn't anything beyond Jesus Christ's ability to answer. Every question, dilemma, situation, problem, conundrum that you face in life, Jesus has an answer for. Everything. Not only does he have an answer for the questions we have, but his wisdom is a guidance to our lives, to help us through our daily activities. Our greatest problem is that we do not appeal to him. We run on autopilot oftentimes. We do trust in the Word of God, but sometimes the old Word of God we got is not good for the present new situation we're in. We need the fresh Word of God. We need the wisdom of the Lord to speak in our current situations. And God makes it that way. He actually allows us to get into places where what you learned before is not sufficient for the thing you're in today. You have to hear him. You have to get his wisdom. Wisdom works in two dimensions. It works in your natural life for the day-to-day activities, even of your, let's say, religious Christian walk. I dislike using the word religion because it, to me, it's no longer an appropriate word for people who live in relationship with God. But you know what I'm saying. It has to do with our natural living. The second area that we need wisdom in is in the supernatural area of the kingdoms of this world, the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world, and how to interact that way. So I'm going to use Daniel and Joseph as two examples, one who functioned using the wisdom of God in a natural situation and the other using the wisdom of God in a spiritual situation. So first, let's look at Joseph. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 41. And if you permit me, I'm going to do some long reading, all of which I think is essential to helping us understand the conditions that Joseph was in and how God used his wisdom to impart it to Joseph and for him to be effective. In the natural, verse 1. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine-looking and fat. And they fed in the meadow. Then, behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on 1 stalk, plump and good. Then, behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker, we each had a dream in one night. He and I, each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened, he restored me to the office, and he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it, but I've heard it said that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. Now pay attention here. Wisdom, he was not going to give credit to himself for the wisdom that he had. Neither should we. We accumulate wisdom, of course, but all of it by the divine hand of God working in us. And in this case, it was supernatural wisdom that did not come from himself, but from God. It's not of me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream I stood on the bank of the river. Suddenly 7 cows came up out of the river, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt, such ugliness as I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the gaunt and ugly cows ate up the 1st 7, the fat cows. When they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly as at the beginning. So I awoke. Also, I saw in my dream, and suddenly 7 heads came up on 1 stalk, full and good. Then, behold, 7 heads withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the thin heads devoured the 7 good heads. So I told this to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. And the 7 thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the beauty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh 2 times because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. and let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. So the advice was good to the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" He's standing right in front of him. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Joseph was in prison when this situation developed. And there were people in prison who remember his good word to them, how he interpreted their dreams. And yet, even though Joseph did good in the prison, he was not rewarded. In fact, he was kept in prison, which is a word to you. Not every good thing that you do will be immediately rewarded, but ultimately rewarded. Many times your life is going to remain hidden. I cannot speak too much upon that subject right now, but I want you to know there is a place where God will hide you and keep you. You will long to get out, to say something, to be connected with others, to be able to communicate good thoughts, good things that are in your heart, and you will not find God willing to open a door for you. And you will wonder about these things. You'll ask why. And the reason is God has found a time for you that you need to remain hidden, because he's going to do something in your life in that hidden time that cannot be done in times of open prosperity, when everybody promotes you. So there's a time to be brought low, not because you've done anything wrong, but because God is preserving you and protecting you and dealing with you, because you do not know what lies in your heart until God reveals it and then begins to change you. Do not despise the days of being hidden, for I have known them throughout my life and remain in one such time now. It's okay. It's God. And what did God do? He humbled this man and gave him interpretations of dreams so that at a later time, the wisdom of God in Joseph would be manifested and God would lift him up, exalt him, honor him, set him before others, crown him with glory and honor. Do you think God is willing to do that to you? Joseph is no different than you. You may not find yourself before Pharaoh. You will be in different situations, but all of them equally important, where you're going to have to call upon God and his wisdom to not only get you through, but also to bring answers to people who are in desperate situations. Wisdom is not just for us. It often is through us to others. I knew a man one time who was working in a school system, a Christian. And the school system he was in, the district, was having enormous difficulty routing the buses to pick up children. And the way the routes were arranged, it seems like some kids were going to get missed and they would not get picked up. And the buses were having to retrace their steps and things of that nature. Now, the guy was a teacher. He wasn't in charge of bus transportation for students, but he heard about it. And he felt in his heart that the problem wasn't just for the school, but the problem was for the families of these children. So he appealed to God. And he had no knowledge of what the transportation routes were like. So he appealed to God, and he sat down, and God began to give him some information. He had a pad of paper, and he started to write things out. And he said, "Oh, I see it." And he went to the people who had the responsibility of routing the buses, and he said, "Here's something that God showed me," and he gave it to them. And the people were amazed because he solved the problem for them with the wisdom of God. And they said, "How did you figure this out?" He said, "Well, I didn't." He said, God gave me this. It was his wisdom. There was another young man in our church one time who came to me and he said, I'm in a dilemma. They're asking me to solve problems that I do not have the capability of. I don't know what to do. And so I prayed. And then God gave me a vision for him. And I saw him fixing cuckoo clocks. The cuckoo clock is a pretty intricate thing. It has a lot of moving parts. It's connected to time and movement, and all the little parts have to work at the right place and so that the little bird pops out or people or whatever pops out. And so I began to share this with him, and I had no idea that that cuckoo clock connection would have anything of any meaning to him. And when he heard cuckoo clock, something downloaded in him about the springs and the gears that gave him the answer. It was the wisdom of God imparted through a vision that I had. So God will do the most amazing things for us in life. Not just for us, but for each other and even for the lost. Praise his holy name. Let's look at Daniel. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2. Now, Joseph's situation was for the natural. He addressed the natural problem. Would we to God have more Christians in our government? I'm not promoting Christians in government. I believe God sets people in places where he wants them. And unless God tells and reveals his heart to somebody to run for public office or who becomes a Christian while in public office, I don't think we should launch into it. I believe it's important to let God put people in places that he wants them to be. And if and when he does, then that means that's a place for a person to function in the supernatural as well as the natural with God's wisdom. Don't you? Because if anybody needs the wisdom of God, who would it be other than the government? Amen. So, Daniel, chapter 2, verse 1. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. It's interesting that these kings had dreams. And his spirit was troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to all the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I've had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we will give the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut to pieces and your houses shall be made an ash heap. It's a nice job they got. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. It's interesting how the giftings, the rewards, the great honor, the esteem, the protection, all of this is related to wisdom. Wisdom does have a way of exalting people. It's not self-exaltation. That is the most dangerous thing. And we are... The church is fraught with people who are exalting themselves. You stay low and let God raise you up. You stay low and let God raise you up in due time. Stay low. It's a safe place. You lift your head up and it might get taken off. Stay low. Let God exalt you. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream and we'll give its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me, till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There's not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, those dwelling whose dwelling is not with flesh." For this reason, the king was angry and very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then, with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. I tell you, that doesn't make any sense, does it? That he would kill them all just because they couldn't answer one thing? However, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is a decree from the king so urgent?" Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time, that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house, made the decision known to his Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven, and Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." And he changes the time. Listen, pay attention to this scripture. Pay particular attention to this scripture because it speaks to the epochs of life, generations and seasons throughout the history that God is involved in. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. So when you look out at the world and wonder what's going on, don't forget, God is still sovereign. He gives wisdom to the wise, hallelujah, and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. "I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand." Never doubt for a minute that God will not answer you. Just give him time. Relax. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation." Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, "I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation." The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, forgive me for that, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered to the presence of the king and said, presence means to his face, right directly to his face, and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these." Now he tells him his dream without Nebuchadnezzar telling Daniel what the dream was beforehand. "As for you, O king, thoughts came to you, to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, the secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for your sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, were watching and behold a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay and bronze, the silver and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heaven, he has given them unto your hand, and has made you ruler over all them. You are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom, inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes partly of potter's clay, and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with the ceramic clay. And the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the other seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The interpretation of the dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. I'll stop with that. What Daniel was revealing was this. Four kingdoms would exist. The first one was the kingdom that was involved in Nebuchadnezzar. That was the Babylonian kingdom. The one that followed was called the Medo-Persian kingdom. The one after that was the Greek, and the one after that was the Roman. And the stone that was cut out without hands came and crushed them all. Now, who is that stone? Isn't that amazing? Now, what kingdom is still standing? The kingdom of God. When Jesus came on earth, he brought the kingdom of God to this earth in a spiritual condition. It is the only one that's lasted. Glory to God. Let's look at Isaiah 2. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not rise up with sword against another nation, neither shall they learn war any more. This speaks of the condition of the kingdom of God as it expands from the time that Jesus was on the face of the earth until the final time when Jesus comes back. So Daniel's wisdom, you might call it a prophecy, but it was an interpretation of that dream, was an interpretation to explain to the king not only his present situation, but what would happen afterwards. Why am I telling you this? What importance is it to you? Number one, it's important to let you know that we live in a kingdom right now that has already exceeded all other kingdoms and will never disappear from the face of the earth, let alone the universe. That while things might look difficult in this world right now, we live in a spiritual kingdom that will eventually draw men to it who will say, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. There is a time coming for that. Wisdom often lifts us up from the difficult situations we are in, where all we hear and all we see around us is challenging to our comfort. But the wisdom of God reveals things to us that lifts us out of those situations and gives us a hope, because we see beyond the current situation into the future of what things are going to be like. And without that, we don't have hope. I have hope today that my grandchildren, great-grandchildren, will not live under the conditions that we see beginning to develop in this world. They will live under the kingdom of the Lord. That God is going to raise up people who will listen to him and have wisdom to do spiritual things, to do the right things, to change the conditions of this world. I am not one of those believers who thinks that the more bad things that happen means that we can get out of here and God is going to pluck us out of this situation. That is not the truth. The truth is that we live in a kingdom that will prevail. And I praise God for that. You need to hear the wisdom of God about life. And the only way you get it is to appeal to him to reveal to you, what is going on, God? I need solutions, answers. Give me the hope that I need. Let me see things spiritually. Let me bring us to a point where we can make some application of all of this. I want the Holy Spirit to help lift us up. First of all, God is desirous to impact you, his children, with wisdom. He wants to give you the wisdom that you need for daily life, for natural things, for spiritual things. But what we're going to do, first of all, is ask God to forgive us for making decisions without appealing to him, for getting ourselves into difficulties and realizing that we acted hastily or without the wisdom of God. I think it's important to get healed of making bad decisions. Do you not? I think we need the healing balm of God to say, hey, I still love you. I'm going to work things out with you. I want us to pray right now that we get freed from the past wrong decisions because we did not appeal to the wisdom of God. Everybody here knows something about the past that we've done wrong, that we didn't ask God for help, that we didn't appeal to his wisdom. So let's pray this. Heavenly Father, you can pray it silently. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, the only wise King, as Scripture says, the only wise King. And we ask you, first of all, dear Lord, forgive us for the times that we've hastily moved without your wisdom, and we've got ourselves in difficulty. We ask you for forgiveness, first of all, and then we appeal to you to extract us, to deliver us, to heal us, to protect us from the mistakes that we've made. And we look to you this morning that you become the only wise God in our lives. We ask that Jesus be made unto us all wisdom, that in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and he is in us and we are in him. This morning we make a decision before you, Lord. We will not make decisions without appealing to you. We will not simply go on our own understanding as in the past. We will not look just to natural laws or natural information, but we will look to you above all. Even as Proverbs 3 says, we will not lean on our own understanding. In all of our ways, we will acknowledge you, Lord. We need you, God, in these troubled times, in these times when you and your kingdom can be exalted in us, in these days when we will have the protection that we need from you, that we can give you glory for the answers you give to us. Wisdom is not to exalt ourselves, but that you be exalted through us. All exaltation be given unto you, God, for it. Even as Daniel and Joseph had declared, that it was because of you that they had the answers. So we say to you, O God, because of you, we will have answers for life. Wisdom to succeed in our day-to-day activities. Wisdom to ferret through spiritual issues. Wisdom Wisdom will crown us with glory and honor. Wisdom will lift us up above the difficulties, the situations that have befuddled us in the past. We ask for this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Thank you.